Look at that. What a beautiful sight. Our very own Sebastian Salazar and Rafael Salazar, congratulations.
Our very own Rafael Salazar as well.
Healy Salazar and Seb Salazar on the birth of their beautiful baby boy. Obviously, Sebi Salazar is not here with us, pero el jugador de franquicia, our big gun, Mal Pedrosa. Mal, look at that.
I'm just glad that we have welcomed to the world a new Americanista.
Football Rafael. Americanista.
No.
Don't put that.
America seguidor.
No le pongas ese mal. Football Americas. That one's for Seb.
That was long. That was long, but that was good. That was strong. I mean, solid.
They came into the hospital this morning.
Yeah.
And we were having bets in the production room about when about little Rafa Salazar. We still didn't know he was going to be called Rafael. We had our bets going as well. I had Willow in my pick 'em.
Didn't well, work out. I don't think it's, first of all, congrats to the family. I don't think it's a coincidence that the baby was born almost at the same time at the start of the show. I don't think that's a coincidence. Congrats to the Salazar family. Yeah, welcome to the show. I want to start, first of all, how do you like my outfit?
I do like your outfit.
Did you ever expect that your co-host was going to wear your very own T-shirt?
Okay, so explain this. One, Two Threads, which does unbelievable gear here in Los Angeles. It's a collector's edition. That is a 2005 MVP edition. The only edition of a double winning team for the Galaxy in their history.
Oh, man.
There's only, that I know of, two of them.
Yeah.
And my wife has one.
Yeah.
And Mal Pedrosa has the other.
Who do you love more?
On what?
All right. Let's get things started. We'll touch on
question is that?
Liga MX, of course. We're going to have an interview with Major League Soccer 2022 MVP. The season starts this weekend.
Get paid, honey.
On Thursday. But let's get started with Ernie Stewart and an interview that was published by Yahoo Sports. In that interview, Ernie Stewart touched on different subjects, mainly talking about his time at U.S. Soccer and the things hurt that he believes need to be done in order to, quote-unquote, take the next step. He's no longer in charge, but I think a lot of things that are worth our time touching on. What was the biggest takeaway from this interview for you?
My biggest takeaway was that Ernie Stewart said a lot without saying anything, okay? A lot about nothing, if you will. He talked about how he was in charge of bringing Greg Berhalter in. He spoke about how it wasn't his job on picking the next coach. That would have been Brian McBride. He spoke about the DNA, the style of play, and how he thought the U.S. men's national team had a very good World Cup.
Yeah.
Which I don't agree with. He even went as far as to say, if you take out the scoreline against the Netherlands.
Yeah, that was a great quote. Yeah, I love
it. It was good. Where was it good? The best player on that day for your team.
If you don't consider goals, then
was
we had a good
Matt
World
Turner.
Cup.
Matt Turner was the best player on your team that day. And then you can go down the list of things when he talks about the pyramid and he never mentions Pro Rel, et cetera, et cetera. I'll leave you with this, okay? When we think about Ernie Stewart and his legacy as a sporting director, there are a few things you will remember. You will remember he was in charge of bringing Greg Berhalter in, and you will remember how Greg Berhalter left. You will remember Ernie Stewart was the one catering to phone calls with overbearing helicopter parents. You will remember that. His role in the Giovanni Reyna, Daniel Reyna, Claudio Reyna, and the Berhalters and that saga with U.S. Soccer. That's what you will remember of Ernie Stewart. You will also remember he decided to leave U.S. Soccer, leave this team for PSV. That is what you will remember of Ernie Stewart in his role as a sporting director.
In fairness to the report, he was asked about the Greg Berhalter Reyna family situation. He said he was not able to comment, but he was asked. Now,
pending investigation,
exactly, pending investigation. My biggest takeaway, and I wanted to talk to you about this, and I talked to you a little bit before we came on the air, but I didn't want to talk a lot because I want to ask you this. He talked about the new player, right? And it was a little bit about the same thing that Greg Berhalter had to say about after the loss against the Netherlands, right? We do not have a Memphis Depay. And I believe Ernie Stewart was also leading us into that. We need a new player, not when he's 15 or 16, when they're even younger. We need a world-class player. And my first thought was, well, you guys do have world-class players. I thought the new U.S. player was already here. The Christian Pulisics of the world, the Weston McKennies of the world, the Tyler Adamses of the world.
But who are we kidding ourselves?
So a lot of negativity, a lot of negativity towards the talent of the U.S. player.
You could say it's maybe finger-pointing, saying we couldn't succeed because we didn't have, because he was saying that the U.S. didn't have that difference maker in the final third. And maybe he's right. You look at the names you just mentioned, those names aren't world-class players, especially when we look in the final third. They're not difference makers on teams.
But is Memphis Depay, is Memphis a way better player than Christian Pulisic?
Well, in all fairness to him, that's not his comparison. That was Greg
Berhalter. Right, that was Greg Berhalter. But this is the conversation we're having.
Which is a joke, and it shouldn't have been done. But in a separate report, one by Brian Strauss of Sports Illustrated. He talks about culture and wanting to bring in somebody, a next future U.S. men's national team coach, who understands the culture. I would ask to that, what culture? What culture are you asking about? Because the culture that you've had at U.S. soccer, or the identity, I should say, historically, is one of fight, spirit, never backing down. It's not about quality. It's not about talent. This type of culture that he's alluding to, and Sebi Salazar, this is not my take, this is Sebi's take, which I 100% agree. Years ago, he said you could never have that culture because there is no pickup culture. This goes to what you and I know of Mexican culture when it comes to footballing culture, which is way of life. It's part of the everyday fabric. And so it's important and part of the fabric, and there's a pickup culture where everywhere you look, it's being played like that. You're not going to have the culture he's talking about. You can have certain type of players that may help you win. They may understand what certain cultures are about, but you won't have, as a whole, a country of over 360 million with an instilled culture when it comes to this sport yet. So he takes a lot of easy outs here.
He does. Another takeaway that I had when reading this article was, when you have an interview with someone who had his position, right, you expect that he would have an idea of the things that need to be done, changed, in order to, what, as he said, to take the next step. But he went really, really, really wide on the topics that he brought to the table. Because he first started talking about talent. Then he talked about culture. Then he talked about system, right? That's three completely different things. And my question was, if all of those things need to be changed, then this idea that I at least had, right, that the U.S. men's national team, the senior team, was on the right path, on the right track towards the World Cup in 2026, maybe it isn't that so. Maybe things are not quite well as me as an outsider, and you know this by listening to a lot of our colleagues on not only ESPN Deportes, but other networks, when we compared the Mexican national team and the U.S. men's national team is, oh, those guys, the U.S. men's national team, they are way ahead of where the Mexican national team is. And I thought of that. But now by reading this article, things maybe are not as clear as we thought they were.
Well, that's how he ends the article when he's asked if he would change anything structurally, internally, and he said no. I think that's where you lack self-awareness if you're Ernie Stewart, a little self-reflection. I will liken this to Tata Martino in his exit interview, if you will, with the Mexican Federation, stated things you obviously already knew, accepted no blame, no responsibility. I'm out the door. Peace out. Enjoy. Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you make of his assessment of Greg Berhalter as a manager when he says, we had a good World Cup. Things that we did were good. If you take away the scoreboard and the goals, we performed well. What do you make of that?
It's just excuses. Listen, he brought in Greg Berhalter, so he bears responsibility for Greg Berhalter. If the bar, the minimum, because of 2018 and the failed World Cup objective, was to get to the World Cup, A, and B, get out of the group, that's what they did. And if that's a success to him, then there's your success. Now, is it a success for everybody? No, not necessarily. Was it a good World Cup? Sure.
Was it a bad World Cup?
No. Was it a great World Cup? No.
But wasn't making the round of 16 the bar for this team?
Getting out of the group was the bar for this team. And they made it very clear. So by stating your objective,
part of the process,
very clearly,
right?
Yes. They met expectations. But by seeing this player pool, and I would add, by just watching the games, I mean, you had a ridiculous second half where things came crashing down against Wales. You could have lost the game. You were very lucky to get out of the way with the point. You played a worldly against England. Still didn't beat them. You tied. And you beat Iran. That's your World Cup. That's your World Cup. You did the bare minimum. And I think that was the Greg Berhalter era, sans Mexico.
He said, he also said when he took over, right, that was probably the worst time in U.S. soccer recent history after not qualifying to the World Cup in 2018. Leaving the bar of the round of 16, I thought it was like reasonable expectations. Now, he keeps talking about player development, talent development. What about coaching? Because he was asked about Greg Berhalter's successor, and he didn't want to commit an answer to that, right? So if there's a conversation to be held about player development and player talent, what about coaching for the U.S. men's national team?
Well, he washed his hands of it. You know, he doesn't want to comment on if there's a short list or not, because that's not on him anymore. It bears repeating that at this exact moment in the U.S. soccer landscape, the U.S. men's national team has no coach, no general manager, per Ernie Stewart, is to choose the head coach, and no sporting director that one would assume would choose the general manager.
Yeah.
Shows you where it is.
Yeah, you guys are too negative sometimes with your team. I understand. This is a critical situation. I'm not downplaying it, right? You haven't filled out of those positions, crucial positions. Things are not looking great. But, I mean, I still struggle with the thought that what were true expectations, were those expectations met, and the talent, the pool of players, some of us believe is actually better than some of you guys think.
Well,
but that's what we defer.
I guess some of those teams got out of the group phase.
All right, talking about talent and players, let's run it back. Let's start with Ricardo Pepi. Ricardo Pepi keeps scoring in the Eredivisie. 8th goal of the season. Groningen still fighting relegation, second to last. That was a draw over the weekend.
Turned out to be a 1-1 draw. This is second of the year. Ricardo Pepi may be one of the few lone bright spots of Groningen season.
That's a good finish by Ricardo Pepi, 8th goal of the season. We move this to Scotland. Matthew Hopi, that's his first goal for Hibernian. Another striker converting inside the box.
Yeah, he needs those goals. Listen, I'm not big on the Scottish Premier League, Premiership, whatever it is. Sorry, apologies.
It's all right.
But he needs to score goals. Didn't happen in Mallorca, didn't happen in Middlesbrough. He needs to get back on track.
This is Brendan Aaronson playing for Leeds United under 21. He played 30 minutes on Saturday. He played 60 minutes today, scored the opener for Leeds under 21.
Yeah, he was coming back from appendicitis, missed some time, so trying to get him back into rhythm, plays this U21 game. It doesn't matter what you play, you need to get back your sharpness and your fitness.
All right, we're moving now to Ligue 1. This was quite the game. PSG against Lille, and Jonathan David, 15th goal of the season. This was quite the match. It had everything. Jonathan David converting from the spot.
Are you telling me he's good at penalty kicks? Are you telling me he's a penalty kick?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That was a big stage for Jonathan David and converting. Now he's tied with Kylian Mbappe and Florian Balogun, 15 goals each. This is the betting odds on who's going to win the Golden Boot in the French First Division, the Ligue 1. So let's book it. Who you got to win the Golden Boot in France?
I mean, why, If I'm betting my hard-earned money,
+110.
I love Volarin Balogun and what he's done, but my man's had a couple appearances at Arsenal, some Europa League games, and then a breakout season right now in Ligue 1. I love it, but he's off my list. Jonathan David, 15 goals last season was his record at Lille in Ligue 1. I think that's where he caps off. I got to go with tried and proven. You look at Kylian Mbappe. Not only is Kylian Mbappe a cheat code, okay, at the world level, but when it comes to Ligue 1, he just completely dominates. He had 28 goals last season, 27 before, 33 goals the first time he won the Golden Boot. He's won it already four times. Then to go for his fifth consecutive Golden Boot. Nobody's touching Kylian Mbappe. He's on pace to hit those figures again. This is the future of the sport right here before our very eyes. And our CONCACAF brethren, to their dismay, are just in his way.
Listen, just the fact that those names are attached to Kylian Mbappe fighting to win the Golden Boot in Ligue 1, that's already high praise, but we're talking about different type of talent right here. And just listen, they need Kylian Mbappe to score at a high rate because Paris Saint-Germain is conceding like crazy. And they are facing Marseille. Neymar will be out for at least 3 weeks.
Well, however long Carnival lasts.
And sister's birthday, but that's a different conversation. Yeah, it has. I mean, you have to go with Kylian Mbappe. What will happen in the future with him? Nobody knows. Probably he doesn't even know at this point, but that's the safe bet. +110. It's not the fact that he's just the best player in the league, but Paris Saint-Germain are conceding a lot of goals. They're not playing great. And if they're going to keep the gap with Olympique Marseille, they need Mbappe to score a lot, and I think it's going to happen.
Listen, you're comparing Balogun and Jonathan David to not one of the best players in Ligue 1, one of the best players in the world.
Yeah, for sure.
A historic player in the game. What he's been able to do at the world level, what he's been able to do Ligue 1, he continues to defy, honestly, everything that you've ever thought of football. He's on Messi pace for greatness.
If he's healthy, no one can stop him. Let's just put it that way. Let's keep running it back. More action over the weekend. Kyle Larin playing for Valladolid. Third goal in the last four games against Betis. That's a very, very nice finish by Kyle Larin.
Yeah, his first start since he got there. My man is averaging a goal every 55 minutes. We know this about Kyle Larin. We know he's a goal scorer. He led CONCACAF in goal scoring. He was a goal scorer in Turkey. He's doing it now again in La Liga.
Yeah, but that was a good move for him to go to La Liga. It's not easy to play at Valladolid, but he's going to have his chances. Alfonso Davies, again, not a good result for Bayern Munich. They lost against Borussia Mönchengladbach for a couple of assists for the Canadian star.
Yeah, a couple assists. Alfonso Davies slowly getting back into the swing of things. But correct me if I'm wrong, Bayern Munich tends to lose to Gladbach.
Yep.
They've got a terrible record against Gladbach. Joe Scali did not make an appearance here, but my man Alfonso did and gets his second assist of the day.
Yeah, he's getting back there. A lot was made of Joao Cancelo joining Bayern Munich. Dali Blind joining Bayern Munich again also during the transfer window. Finally, we have a tight title race in the Bundesliga. Three teams top of the table with 43 points. Bayern Munich leading by goal difference so far, but Borussia Dortmund and Union Berlin following really, really tight. So that will follow by this. This is a great question. CONCACAF player that will make the biggest impact in the Bundesliga title race. Options: Jordan Pifuk and Geraldo Becker with Union Berlin, Gio Reyna, Borussia Dortmund, and Alfonso Davies with Bayern Munich.
All right, so let's go process elimination very quickly. Gio Reyna's not starting.
Not
lately.
A starter.
Play last game. Be very difficult for him to continue this pace. Though Dortmund, along with Munich and Union Berlin, are at the top 43 points apiece. I'll put him off the list. Alfonso Davies as a left back, you could only assume he could impact the game so much for a team like Bayern Munich. I'm going to go with somebody from Union Berlin, but it's not Jordan Pifuk, and you understand he's a nine. It's Geraldo Becker. Let me tell you about Geraldo Becker. Geraldo Becker, our man, 28 years old, Amsterdam-born winger. He's a playmaking winger from the right or the left-hand side with goals in the Bundesliga, in the Europa League, the Pokal, you name it, goals and assists in all the competitions. He's got over 30% of his team's goals this season in the Bundesliga. Very fast on the dribble, direct, can play both sides, playmaking, so he got assists in his game. This is a player that I believe we've not seen his attributes in CONCACAF for quite some time. Just started playing with Suriname. Mexico will see him very briefly. He's the one who I think is going to be the difference maker out of the CONCACAF players in the Bundesliga.
So, Alex Chadal, I think he's a very aggressive player.
Yes.
Very aggressive player, but really good. But I'm going to go with Alphonso Davies. And I see what you're saying about him being a left back. But with this system under Julian Nagelsmann, right? He's playing a different tactics. He's reinventing the sport. Alphonso Davies tends to play more as a winger than a left back. He's playing and he's creating a lot of chances. Both goals for Bayern over the weekend, two assists from Alphonso Davies. Champions League play.
Assist.
He started on the bench, right? But when he came back, he was really, really, really good. And he also had an assist. After the World Cup, right? He's played at least 45 minutes in all but one game in this Bundesliga. I'm not counting the Pokal game against Mainz, where he was a sub as well. He's crucial to Julian Nagelsmann's system. We saw how he can affect the game. And in the end, even though this is a very, very tight title race, in the end, I believe Bayern has enough talent to win it all and be champions again for the 12th time in a row. And I do believe Alphonso Davies can be a big factor for that.
It's just about time there was a title race, though.
You know? It was about time.
12th
yeah.
time
and
in
he,
a
and who, I mean, we right. expected that from Borussia Dortmund. Yep. But Union Berlin, not only this season, last season again.
They made Europa League.
Exactly. And they did really well. Now, you said Gio Reyna not playing. Concerns about his playing time?
No, I think everything we've read out of the press, coming out of Dortmund, is they want to ease him back into fitness. Read into that what you will, but they still are very worried about his last year, calendar year, his health, and how that could go in and affect him post-World Cup. So I've got no issues with the way they're treating him. Obviously, they lit a fire underneath him. He's been scoring goals off the bench, so hopefully it continues and he works his way back into the pitch.
Yeah, but it's looking strong, that Borussia Dortmund squad. It's not going to be easy, even when he's fit, to find a place in the starting 11 for Borussia Dortmund. And we have a big one on Sunday, starting at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. FC Bayern München hosting Union Berlin. The title race is as tight as it has ever been in the last 10 years in the Bundesliga. Again, on Sunday on ESPN Plus, starting at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Phil Neville has some questions, especially regarding how are the playoffs gonna be played? Inter Miami's head coach, not really thrilled with the way this topic has been handled. Here's his quote. We're 6 days, 7 days out from the first game of the season. We don't know the playoff format. I think that's poor when you're talking about professionalism and elite. One of our players asked one of the MLS guys, what's the playoff system? And they were like, we don't know. And I'm like, that's not elite. You're talking about differences between the UK and the US. We talked about the intensity of the fans. That's a big difference. And we've planned the whole season, and we actually don't know when the season ends and how many games we've got after the regular season. My question is, who's figuring it out? Is it Apple? Who's wagging the dog? Man, that shots fired, Herc. That is it, Apple. I believe it was just a fantastic quote by Neville. Now, is the criticism justified by Phil Neville?
Absolutely. He mentioned it's poor, it lacks elite, it's amateur hour. It's really what it is. Who's wagging the dog? It's a damning statement. Yeah. Like, who's leading who here?
Yeah.
Who's calling the shots is what he's asking. Is it the league office or is it Apple? Now, that's a valid question. Is it Apple? And if it is Apple, how much of a say should Apple have? Apple's coughing up $250 million a year. $250 million a year. They want to recoup that in some way. How do you do that? Well, games that you can televise. It is amateur hour if you expect these players, these teams, to play a best-of-three series. These rumors we've been hearing First round, best-of-three. It's trying to Americanize the world's game in the most negative type of way. When people abroad see this, hear this, look at this, it justifies every negative thought they had about Americans in the game. When really it's businessmen trying to make money.
Yeah.
It's an insult to the fan and how sophisticated they are today to believe that they would be okay with this, to the players and the players' union and to people like Phil Neville. Because when you start a game, let's take a board game, for example. What's the most important thing to know? The rules and regulations.
Well, when
the circumstances play, surrounding said things.
Like Clue, when you cheat playing Clue.
Everything. Everything. You need to know what you're getting into. And listen, season starts this weekend.
He's right, number one. A lot of people are taking the "is it Apple" quote, right, in a very, very serious manner. I wouldn't be as shocked. And I know friends at Major League Soccer don't like to hear what I'm about to say, but I mean, I have to say it. Other leagues like the NFL, MLB, do listen to networks, right? Broadcasters regarding playoff formats. Of course that happens. They're paying a lot of money to broadcast those games. Of course they have a say. So it doesn't scare me if it's Apple considering the playoff format. What it doesn't make any sense is that at this hour, we don't have a resolution. That the fact that teams do not know, that this doesn't happen in MLB or NFL, right? 6 days before the season starts, they know how the playoff format is going to look like. That's, as Phil Neville said, that's poor and that is not elite and it's not fair. It's not fair for teams, players, managers that they do not know. And I know that the playoffs are months away from today. But that's just not the way it should go down. That's not the way how serious leagues, elite competitions work. How have you not resolved this? I don't understand. I don't get it.
It's a circus for the players. It's a circus for the families, for the coaching staffs. That should be the bare minimum. Just know the skeleton. Just know start and end. Playoff start, playoff end. The format and how we'll go, especially for a coach like Phil Neville for many years, his first couple years at Inter, was complaining about needing a certain type of player that would be physically fit enough for the demands of playing in Southern Florida. Now imagine adding extra games to that calendar on top of his worry.
I mean, that's a different conversation, right? Whether you like or dislike the proposed format of best of three for the first round.
Well, you're telling me that Apple may have a say in it, so...
And I don't have a problem. Do you have a problem with Apple having a say in it?
Yes.
Why?
Yes, because you can have a...
Networks have a say in everything
the day,
that happens.
On the time, sure, but not on the amount of games in a series when it comes to a sport that doesn't do games in a series.
But that happens in every league here in the States.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
ESPN has a say in the playoff format.
And that's the problem.
Why is it a problem?
For football, for soccer. That is the problem. Because you're talking about baseball, you're talking about basketball. Imagine if a network came in and told the NFL, hey, you should do a best of three series in the playoffs.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's not going to happen in the future.
It will never happen.
Football is a different animal because of the contact, the way things go down. What I'm saying is, I have zero problem with Apple having conversations with the league regarding the format.
I don't think there's a problem with conversations.
Zero.
I don't think there's a problem with conversations.
Well,
that's okay.
The problem is who's making the final decision.
That's the problem.
Who do you think is making the final decision?
Major League Soccer. I've got no doubts that they're smart enough to, but this leaves a lot to be desired when you're days away from the kickoff.
Yeah.
By the way, I saw the Toronto Galaxy game. The picture looks absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
So congrats to our friends in the broadcast booth, to our friends in production. It looked very good.
Good stuff. So the season starts this weekend. No player in the history of Major League Soccer has won the MVP award in back-to-back seasons. Now, this is a feat that Hani Mukhtar will try to achieve starting this weekend with Nashville hosts New York City Football Club. Herc and Sepp had a, not Sepp and Herc. Herc and Sepp, whatever he is, had a conversation with the current MVP.
Herc and Sepp.
Aye, wait.
Hey, there's no back-to-back MVPs?
No. Hani Mukhtar in the box. Jose Martinez.
MVP, MVP, MVP.
Last time we left Hani, it was, Hani, get paid. I want to know, you gotten paid yet?
No, man, not yet. Still waiting.
Nashville, what are you doing?
Nashville's got to get to work on some of these contracts. My man has definitely earned it over the last season or two, especially last season with the MVP. We have the Euros coming up in 2024. We got qualifying that starts now, almost in March. Do you put that on your radar? Do you see yourself as trying to be or wanting to be part of that process for 2024?
I mean, since I'm a young man, young boy, my dream was, I had two dreams. A boy from Berlin, you have, the first dream is play for Hertha BSC in the stadium, right? In the big stadium with 74,000. I made that with 17. And then the second dream is like, of course, playing for the national team, you know, that's the biggest honor you can have as a soccer player, you know, and I mean, never stop dreaming, and I will work hard. I will work very hard for it. And if I get a chance, I will deliver. I will give my best.
You know, it used to be that if you were a player of national team material, even if you were good enough for other national teams in Europe, maybe they wouldn't look at you because you're Major League Soccer. We just saw a World Cup champion in Argentina with Thiago Almada, who plays in Atlanta United. Is the perception of Major League Soccer around the world changing?
Like, you think you could get called in from MLS?
Yes,
you really believe that?
Yes, I really believe that. I have no doubts. I think they have very similar types of me in the national team. But I think you can definitely get called in. You saw that with Almada. And I saw that in the German news and media. They really talked about that, you know, like, probably like 5 to 10 years ago, it wouldn't have happened. You know, even if you become the MVP and stuff like that, you know, here in the league. But everyone is realizing and recognizing, hey, the league has changed here. Over here, it's like a good quality. And I mean, we see that with Almada and other players. Like, I heard we had like 36 players in the World Cup. That's an amazing number. And I think that's after the top five leagues, we are the sixth, right? So it's amazing to see what's going on here. And it's just getting better.
What's next for Nashville?
Next for Nashville is like, we have to work on our game. I think we have a couple of things to work on, especially controlling the game with the ball, periods of the game, to really say, okay, it's 0-0, but we control the game. And we showed that we can hurt teams. We are good in transition. We stay compact. We have a lot of strengths, but also if we want to make the next step, we have to work on that. And I think it's very important for us.
How do you make your home field more of a home fortress, more difficult to play in for opponents? Because I look at you guys' home record last season, and it didn't look like you controlled those games you're talking about.
Exactly. Like, you know, like, you have an amazing stadium. You have amazing fans. You know, like, it's a great atmosphere around the city. So now is the time, like, hey, teams are coming to us. Before, like, 2 years ago, they came to us. They want to control. They want to attack. These days, it's like, okay, let them have the ball. Exactly. Yeah. We sit back. Like, Kansas came to us. Like, a lot of teams, they came to us, and they were sitting back. And that's where we have, we had troubles. And now it's the time, like, hey, okay, we can do that. We have good enough players. Maybe we get one or two other players to the roster, and then keep the ball, control the game, attack, play attractive football. You know, like, that's the next step, I think, for the club. We have to go.
But you want to play attractive football with Gary Smith? I played for Gary Smith. I played for Gary Smith in Colorado.
No, I mean, it's not true, because, like, we scored a lot of goals.
Right.
You know, and I heard that a lot throughout the league, that we're not playing attractive football and stuff like that. But we scored goals.
Yeah.
And for me, it's football. Like, for me, it's like, if you score goals, it is attractive football.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can say whatever you want, but, like, if you score enough goals, the fans will love it,
yeah.
You know, and it's all about winning games and creating chances. Yeah. And that's, I think, the next step we have to make.
Shout out to Gary Smith.
Yeah.
Hani Mukhtar, the reigning MLS MVP. Great to have you here on the show, as always. Thanks for the time.
Get paid, Hani. Get paid. Come on.
See, somehow Sebi eventually made it into the show. Always does. Take a look at this stats. Goals plus assists, 34. First one to lead that statistic in consecutive seasons since Sebastian Jovinko did it in 2015-2016. Oh, expected goals. You hate that stat. I love that stat.
Yeah, the best stat is the goals and the assists. That's the... I was with Gio that year, by the way.
Were you?
Yeah.
All right, so moving on to this 2023 season about to start. Who's your pick to win the Landon Donovan MVP award?
Just MVP, no golden boot, just MVP?
Just MVP, most valuable player.
Get paid, Hani, get paid!
Hani Mukhtar, how many times we gotta advocate for Hani to get paid? I talked to Hani and he's like, say it louder for those in the back, yo. Pay him, Nashville. Pay this man. Because he's going to do it. He's going to be MVP again. Consecutive years MVP. There's a very simple equation to being MVP. You don't got to be on the best team. Okay? You don't got to be the best.
That's not great,
you
but
don't
got
to be the fastest.
Yeah.
You know what you got to do?
Got to score.
Double-digit goals, double-digit assists. This is what this man does. And he's a candidate for the last 2 years, okay, of being golden boot and also assists.
Mm-hmm.
That combination with the style of play, as unattractive as some of you pundits, talking to you, Andrew Wiebe.
Name names.
Talking to you,
good.
Doyle.
Good for you for naming names.
Yeah, those guys. As many of you pundits say it's ugly football, the man scores goals. They're catered to Hani. Hani is the goal scoring machine there. He will score his goals. He will get his assists. They will be double digits. It's an easy one for me. I'm going to Hani Mukhtar again.
I'm going to be easy, though. You heard the men. I mean, teams are playing them differently, right? No, not a lot of space. It's not going to be easy.
Who you got?
I have my candidate for 2023, Landon Donovan, and Major League Soccer MVP. Landon Donovan played for the Galaxy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great player for the Galaxy.
Yeah.
I have a Galaxy player winning the 2023 MVP, and is Javier Chicharito.
You going with your heart here?
No. If I was going with my heart, I would go with Carlos Vela. Really easy.
Oh, LAFC fan in the house, huh?
No, it's just a more of a Vela fan than Chicharito. Anyways, this is the season for Javier Hernandez. He's in a contract year. Scored 18 goals last season.
most of the year he was healthy, and he's getting more and more help. Now, you can probably throw up my face what I said about Ricky Puig when he joined the team.
I'm not that type of
I thought he was going to be a disaster.
He's not.
I never thought he was going to be a good fit.
I did.
He proved me wrong. He has been really good, and especially really good for Javier Hernandez. He finally has the player who can make him great, who can make him make the jump from a very good goal scorer to maybe the best goal scorer in Major League Soccer next season. Now, does he have to win the Golden Boot in order to win MVP?
Absolutely. Chicharito's not winning MVP if he doesn't win the Golden Boot. I guarantee you that. He doesn't have that in his bag to get enough assists. So he has to be the guy pushing the ball in the back of the net. To his credit, every year since he's gotten into Major League Soccer, he's upped his
total. He's gotten better. Yeah.
He's gotten better. To his detriment.
Because he got healthier.
To this detriment in this argument, I don't know what his health is going to be like this season. He came off the two preseason games ago. The first 5 minutes of the game, it felt something, came off. We've not seen him back since. He didn't play against Toronto. You have to assume a year older and the LA Galaxy having that ban on incoming summer transfers that usually has helped them to be something that could hurt him.
Like Ricky Puig last year.
Exactly. He is a very good finisher. Do they have the pieces right now to help him finish at the rate he needs to? I don't believe so. And also, Dejan. Dejan is nipping at his heels, knocking on that door,
sooner rather than later.
He's going to be up there.
For a competitor like Javier Hernandez to have someone to push him, like Dejan has done it, I think he's made him better.
Yeah,
I think he has made Chicharito a better player.
Let's hope to your argument. Chicharito's that type of guy where if he gets opportunities, he will score goals. I don't know what this season will look like for the LA Galaxy, and I mean that with the utmost respect. Mm. They have put themselves in a situation because of Chris Klein, because of what they've done, the fines and suspension, and they've not, to this day, to this moment, helped themselves for winning games this season. They're still waiting on a right back because Julian Araujo is gone. They're still waiting on a second or third winger, if you will.
Yeah.
Tyler Boyd just signed.
Yep.
That is one that just came through the pipeline literally like an hour ago for us. So it will help. Yes, you still need a winger. You still need an outside back. And they're talking about Marcelo. So it goes to show you where the brass is. It goes to show you where leadership is thinking at this very moment. But if you're trying to bank on Chicharito winning MVP without being the Golden Boot winner, I don't see that happening.
We expand on the Marcelo conversation in our digital segment. You can check it out in different platforms. If Chicharito ends up winning the MVP, I'm going to ask you to please call your buddies that made this T-shirt and make this exact same design. Remove your ugly face from it.
I'm pretty sure they will make that
on it
for any Galaxy player that wins two championships in a year.
I'll probably wear it. All right.
Any Galaxy
player. By the way, the rest of the Major League Soccer preview on Football Americas this Thursday. Predictions and all you need to know for this upcoming 2023 Major League Soccer season.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We move on to Liga MX. Las Águilas del América hosting Cholos de Tijuana at Estadio Azteca. 11 minutes, Diego Valdez. What a save from Toño Rodríguez.
Toño Rodríguez had himself a blinder. Even when they did score on him, you could see why. But look, Henry Martin right there, makes himself big, keeps this game 0-0, having him in there. And then Henry again. It's Toño making himself big, chance after chance, man.
Yeah, but Henry Martin against three Tijuana defenders. Tijuana now with Miguel Herrera as the manager. And is this a great goal or a bad mistake? Leo Suarez, left foot. Look at how he bends the ball. But Toño Rodríguez, where was he going?
Yeah, he just took a step. That's a difficult shot. It may be on his post, but you're not doing anything on that. And then Henry Martin, the
pass is sexy.
He's bringing Diego Valdez back. And then here you go. Here you go. Somebody on him. Hey, what do you know? Tijuana's having some chances. And then, oh, no, you just came in 24 seconds ago. Do not. You just came in 24 seconds ago. Yeah. That's not a red card.
Red card for Misael Dominguez. 80th minute. What a strike. Silvio Martinez from long distance. And we had a tight game. But in injury time, another try by Diego Valdez. It goes wide. Miguel Herrera cannot believe it. He was booed as he entered Estadio Azteca. America beats Tijuana 2-1. America now a year without a loss playing at home at Estadio Azteca. Something, nothing, or everything. This unbeaten run in a calendar year for Las Águilas playing at home.
It's everything, and you would know this more than others, but I've always heard and I've experienced this playing in Liga MX about El Estadio Azteca, El Estadio Azteca, El Estadio Azteca.
The myth.
The myth. How mythical of a beast it is to play in Estadio Azteca. And you hear el sueño de todo futbolista mexicano, the dream of every Mexican footballer. It's one of two things. It's to play in El Estadio Azteca with the national team or against America in El Estadio Azteca. It's how they make it bigger than it actually is. And more often than not, when teams go and play there, they suffer because the altitude, the opponent, because of the stadium, its history, it really is that figure. So it is everything, and especially when you think about a year, that would imply that it's not only Tano Ortiz's team, but Santiago Solari's team as well. How impressive they've been, constant they've been throughout that year at home.
Well, it's about to be a year, also a year since El Tano Ortiz took over America. I'm going to say it is something, but not everything. Because of all the things that you said, that are absolutely right. I agree with all of them. But it doesn't really mean if you don't finish winning the league in the end, right? This streak of not losing at home for Club America in this Liga MX, with this current level of Liga MX, where you have bad teams like Mazatlán. Querétaro actually got a point from Estadio Azteca
right. This
season. That's why I cannot go ahead and
Puebla
say
as well.
It is everything. Puebla as well. And they both have been awful
this
season. So it's nice. It's nice to have. And in this format, if you don't lose at home, you will make La Liguilla. You will make the playoffs. But that's not the bar for America. Right now, the bar is championship or bust. Regardless, if you celebrate a year without losing at home. Now, next game at home, it's a tough one. It's against Pachuca.
Well, actually, they lost the last
time. And Pachuca, they have been doing well. This is the remaining home schedule for America in this Clausura 2023. Not easy. Pachuca currently fourth, but probably played better than that. León, they're doing better week after week with Larcamón. Rayados, best team in the country by far. And Pumas, please, come on.
Pumas is a trap game because it's a rivalry, so yes, very difficult.
Will they remain undefeated till the end of the regular season?
At home.
At home, yeah. This is at home.
No, if I had a bet, no. And you just mentioned a few teams that could present problems. Pachuca being the very obvious candidate. Pachuca, who actually always plays well in Estadio Azteca. There's always this team that, for whatever reason, you don't do well against. For Club America, that's Pachuca. They have a certain system. They have a certain intensity to them, to their game, that presents problems.
You know how I felt going into the season about Club America and their prospects in that center back duo. Néstor Araujo, Cáceres, Luis Reyes. I wasn't sold on any of them. Oh, Chava Reyes, excuse me.
No, you're good.
I wasn't sold on any of them. I'm still
Chava
not
Reyes
sold.
Is the left back.
Yes, you're right. I'm still not sold on any of them. They are a liability. This is a team, especially with Tan Ortiz, who's still a very young manager who's having trouble closing out games. Pachuca plays with the intensity they can play at, and America gives the chances that they gave to Cholos. Pachuca's putting this game away, and if it's not Pachuca, forget about it. It'll be Monterrey.
So last season's Pachuca would have scared me. We talked to Guillermo Almada on Ahora o Nunca recently before the whole Mexican national team manager thing went down. And he was very, very, very candid saying, listen, we're not the same team without Nico Ibáñez, of course, but also the fact that they have been playing well, but they lost their best players, El Pocho being the other one.
Guzmán.
Pocho Guzmán. I don't think America should be afraid of this Pachuca.
Yeah, but they gained two players. Now, Chicho Arango debuted last night.
Yeah.
He got his first.
He did okay.
He did okay. He was maybe a foul with Kevin Alvarez in the goal they scored in the last minute. He also got an assist, by the way. But the coming out party, again, because he does this every once in a while, of La Chofis López and who he is today. He scored his fifth goal last night.
Yeah.
So with Chicho Arango, who's going to get his feet wet, and La Chofis López playing an optimum level, this is a scary team. I don't care if Nico Ibáñez is on it or not. You still have to respect the players they have on the field, and the intensity, the system that Guillermo Almada has them play with. This is a trap game for them.
Well, you know, of course, I'm going to say that America are going to go unbeaten at home.
Shocker.
The rest of the season. I think they can pull it off. I mean, they are as good as any other team in Liga MX. Speaking of good teams, Chivas. Fifth consecutive game without a loss. They went to play Pumas at Ciudad Universitaria in Mexico City. They hadn't won their season.
Go ahead, Danny Rios.
And there you go, Rios scores in the fifth minute. And then Pumas had their chances, but they missed a lot of chances,
Diogo,
especially in the first half.
Oh, Diogo. And, how about this save?
Go ahead, Wacho. Watch out.
Yeah, Wacho was the big star for Pumas in the game. 32nd minute. Another set piece. Another corner.
How does that happen?
Carlos Cisneros with a score.
Diogo and Dineno right there. Two tallest players for Pumas. And then look at this. Use your left foot.
Oh, good Lord.
Dineno,
that was bad. 75th minute. Rubalcaba, Monroy with a cross, and Dineno. But he's offside.
No.
Was he?
Rubalcaba.
VAR in action. Score counts. And then in the 98th minute, Wacho with a claw to save the win for Chivas. 2-1 at Ciudad Universitaria, beating Pumas. Now, Chivas seems like the new manager is getting a hold of this team, but it all starts with Pocho Guzmán, who's having a great season.
Victor Guzmán.
Victor Guzmán scoring from the spot as well, but we all know Alexis Vega is not right now part of the team with an injury. Who's more valuable to Chivas right now? Guzmán or was it Alexis Vega when he was around?
No, it's Victor Guzmán. Listen, he's played in six games. So he started six games. He's already got 4 goals, 2 assists.
Yep.
Alexis Vega has never had more than 5 goals or 5 assists, regardless of campaign, in any season he's played. It's obvious how important Victor Guzmán is, not only in his overall game, because he's already coming off of winning a championship with Pachuca, but just in general with this Chivas team. Who's the captain right now? It's Victor Guzmán. Victor Guzmán is a leader, and he also leads by example. He scores goals. He gives assists. He facilitates. He's first in that attack when it comes to pressing and defending and organizing. Now, some may say that Chivas has more points than they deserve. If that's the case,
that would be me.
Exhibit A, Victor Guzmán. He is cause and effect of that.
So I like Victor Guzmán a lot. I think he deserves a chance at the Mexican national team. I thought he deserved a chance for the team that went on and played in Qatar 2022. Is he better than Alexis Vega? I don't think so. Is he more valuable than Alexis Vega to Chivas? I don't think so right now. I think when Alexis was there, he was a part of a team under very poor dynamics. I think Guzman is benefiting by Paunovic's system, which is more aggressive, more straightforward, more attacking, plays to his strengths.
What's Alexis good at?
Oh, Alexis is great at everything.
Like what? Scoring goals?
If he plays out wide, he can dribble, right? He wins 1v1s. He can assist. He scores. Both are complete players.
Let me ask you a question.
Both are very, very... Let me finish this. Just this thought. Both are very complete players. But for this Chivas system, I think we have to wait and see. Whenever Alexis Vega is fit and ready to go, I think when that happens, this system really plays to his strengths and he'd be more valuable than Pocho Guzman
right now. This dynamic system.
Yeah.
Okay. On both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you want at Alexis Vega? Goals or assists?
Both.
You want both, right?
I want both. And he can do both. Do you agree he can do both?
No, because he's never given you more than five in each category.
Well, you have to consider who he's playing with.
No, you have to consider the
Pocho Guzman was great at assisting because he had Nico Ibáñez in front of him.
No, in
the league's
Chivas
top
team.
Scorer.
In this Chivas team.
Yeah, I mean, Victor Alexis
Guzman,
Vega can play
Victor
that
Guzman has a nine who scored, all nines combined have scored one goal. And he's scoring goals. He's giving assists. He's a much better player.
No, he's not a better player. First of all, they're different players.
Listen to what I'm saying.
They're very different
players. He's a much better player at impacting the game. You know why? Because he comes up on the scoreboard, and if it's not the scoreboard, it's an assist. It's very simple. They're numbers. There's no denying a number.
I think we're being very, very unfair to Alexis Vega. You are. I'm not. I'm being fair to Alexis Vega, but you're being to Alexis Vega.
He's never scored more than five goals in a season.
But we haven't seen him under this regime, under Paunovic's system. He was playing under Marcelo Michele Año, and he was great. He was the only
Cadena
player that was playing
Leaño,
good with Cadena.
Whatever
he
you
was
want.
Great.
Pick the name. Pick
now,
the team. Whatever
now that
you
they
want.
Finally have a match, and I'm not sold on Paunovic yet. I'm not saying he's Pep Guardiola with Barcelona, but at least I respect that he has an idea, and it seems like the players bought on that idea. What I'm saying is, once Alexis Vega is 100% again, this system, they both are going to play great. This is nothing against Pocho Guzman. I'm a huge fan of his play, but I think this system, we will see the true value of Alexis Vega, both scoring and assisting.
Because we've not seen it yet. So this is why
not
today,
with Paunovic. No, he's
today,
been injured.
This is why today the
not
answer.
Not with Paunovic.
This is why today the answer of the question posed by production would be Victor Guzman.
Well, yeah, but I'm putting in context the fact that we haven't seen Alexis
don't
Vega
say, well,
play.
Well, yeah,
under
after
Paunovic.
5 minutes of arguing with
you. You just don't like Alexis Vega. This is what it matters. Really sad news for Jose Juan Macias. He was working to get back on the field after suffering a knee injury, and during training, ruptured his ACL for the second time. Surgery successful, but he'll have to wait another 9 months to get back on the field. First of all, our thoughts are with him, hoping for a full and complete recovery. You had your number of knee injuries as a player. You have a very, very real perspective on this. Can he go back to be what we expected him to be?
Well, first of all, there's a reason there's high expectations for a player like JJ Macias. It's because you see the talent level. You saw it at León as a teenager. The man played like something like 40 games, had 19 goals as a teenager, led them to a final appearance where he was the nine, the goal scorer for that team. Comes out to Chivas, and you've already mentioned in the Alexis Vega segment, the array of problems that Chivas have had when it comes to their coaching, when it comes to their style of play, when it comes to the teams that they've had in the past. He's been a victim of that. He went to Getafe, it didn't go his way. Comes back, knee injury. You're looking for him to come back and be a strong player for it, gain a new perspective, and right before he gets that opportunity, it's pulled underneath from underneath him. He's a player, it gives me hope to see what he can do because he's not a player who is dependent on his physical abilities now. He's very quick in decision-making, right foot, left foot, gaining that one yard of space to shoot hard with the right foot, hard with the left foot, good finisher with his head, instinctual movements, can combine. I don't believe he is a player that is limited to only his physical abilities, I still think maybe not in Chivas or the right team. You could see him flourish. He's still only, what, 23 years of
23,
age?
23, yeah.
Hopefully he comes back stronger because I do think he's got a strong work ethic, and mentality to go along with that talent.
I hope you're right. I personally find it really tough for him to go back to that rate of scoring like he had at León when he was 18, 19 years old. And I worry about the mental element of the injury, right? That's, I mean, physically he might go back 100%, but good enough, fit enough to be a really good professional player. And we have been told that if there's something that stands out about JJ Macias, it's his mental strength.
Yeah.
That will be crucial for he to come back and be a great player. You just mentioned something that I think is very important, and it was, is it Chivas?
Right.
Is that the perfect place for him to go back and just try to recoup what he had, which was great abilities, great scoring rate? I don't know. I find it tough. I find it hard that he will ever be the striker, the player that we thought he could be. Again, if he has this mental strength that we believe he has a shot. He has a shot. But we hope he has a full and speedy recovery. Now, best team in Liga MX. It's not America, it's not Tigres. Rayados de Monterrey. 7th win in a row. This one, they had to fight for it. They were playing Necaxa at El Gigante de Acero. And they have a problem, man, with PKs. What is up with that and Rayados de Monterrey? Now it was Rodrigo Aguirre. We have to go all the way to the second half. Good assist by Berterame, the finish by Rogelio Funes Mori.
Yeah, Berterame has been one of the better players for Rayados. Funes Mori scoring goals again. And then, what say you, penalty?
Yeah, that's a penalty.
Well.
Yeah, arm extended. Not great. And this is Edgar Mendez. Scoring former Cruz Azul player Lilini is happy because he thinks he might steal a point from El Gigante de Acero. The crossbar denies Jordi Cortizo, and in the 92nd minute, Gobea with a cross and the miracle by Germán Berterame. Rayados gets the win.
The player, Berterame, goal and assist. We're taking it back home.
Monterrey sits atop of the table, 21 points. 7 wins in 8 games. Tigres and America follow with 18 and 16 points. Hey, Chivas is 5th with 15 for all those critics of las Chivas Rayadas del Guadalajara.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Now, as the Perro Bermudez used to say, La Copa Chivas Leafs. The U.S. Women's National Team facing Japan. We go to the 5th minute. Pass by Mallory Swanson. Nobody there.
It's a good little teasing ball. Nobody closing the back door.
And the cross. And this one almost gets in. Hits the crossbar. Lynn Williams. Almost that close. But the bar denying. Japan had a lot of chances. This is the 19th minute. Iwabuchi. The shot gets blocked. Fuka Nagano tries the volley and just goes wide.
Where did the letter come inside? Very dangerous position there.
44th minute, Mallory Swanson. Take a look.
Mink, mink.
Goes 1v1.
Check the speed, the control. Very nice control. And the finish, it is there.
Yeah. Check out Alex Morgan. Just know who you're playing with. Knows it's about speed right here. Gives her some space, some time. The control is ridiculous.
Control is great, man.
Yeah, you just said that, Mal, right there. That's ridiculous control. She puts it away.
61st minute. Chance for Japan. The header. Because Joe's wide. Hina Sugita missing in front of the goal. 79. Another chance for Japan from long distance. This is Fuka Nagano again. And almost at the end of the game, chance to tie it. Good save by Casey Murphy. It was a good game, good test for the U.S. women's national team beating Japan 1-0.
Yeah, mixed squad, good result, but plenty of chances given up, that's for sure.
Yeah. Game played in Nashville. This is the table so far. 2023 She Believes Cup. The U.S. 6 points, followed by Canada with 3, Brazil as well. Japan still looking to get the first points. Here's your parting shot. Take a look at this, Herc. Indy 11. They have unveiled the new stadium rendering. Construction for 20,000 seat 11 Park to begin in May of this year. I mean, it looks like this is going to be the best soccer design stadium in the country.
I mean, when it comes to a non-MLS stadium, by far, it's a $1 billion project that's going to have hotels, that's going to have shopping. Ersol Özdemir is the owner of Indy 11. What does our man Ersol do?
I believe he does real estate.
He's a real estate developer.
I see.
So as in like most new stadiums or franchises, it's another one of these.
Beauty.
Yes.
Beauty. An absolute beauty.
But 90% privately funded, so good on Indy. Let's hope it leads to something for 11 and beyond for many generations of football in Indianapolis.
Former Gerardo Torrado team.
That's true.
Indy 11. Miles Robinson on Thursday. Our Major League Soccer 2023 season preview also on Thursday. Remember to check out the podcast. A lot more. We'll be back. Seb and family, we love you all.
Go to sleep, Rafael.
All of you watching, we love
you. Let the parents sleep a little.